go. I got both eyes. One of them working. All right, come in here, please.
Happy December 1st.
Wow, weird. Off Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday, and then I didn't realize we're not supposed to be work on Monday because the game yesterday. I was like,
no, hello, stranger.
I didn't find that out till like 11 o'clock. I was getting ready, and then I talked to Brian, who was supposed to be in charge. He's like, yeah, I didn't know that either. I'm like, what the hell?
I got a text from Rachel Bell Monday morning. Says, hey, do you know who's producing today's show? And I said, yes, you are. And she said, yippee.
All right, here we go. Thanks, everybody, for sticking with us. Man, we have a lot to get to. Seahawks, there's the basic idea of sports is that if you play with somebody who's bad, you play down to their level. My brother always says that whenever I play tennis with him. He goes, I'm good. I go, yeah, you're really good. No, you suck the good out of me. So you watch the, and I said it to Rye yesterday after watching bits and pieces of the Seahawks game. I say bits and pieces. I got the app on my phone, the Seahawks game, but every 15 seconds it goes blank and then it restarts and then goes blank again. And then, but oh my God, the commercials run continuously without any interruption whatsoever. I don't get it. If the Germans are involved or China's involved in this or something like that, but it was not a very pleasant experience. Overall, the experience for people that are watching it is the defense is okay. The Seahawks shut down the Eagles, which was not that hard to do. I think at one point they had -3 yards rushing by the third quarter. I think they hadn't had a first down conversion or a first down in the first 7 quarters of the game. I think they added 3 quarters just to give the Eagles an opportunity. I know Philly Dave was not happy, and no one in Philadelphia was happy. The only thing bad... The only good thing that could have come out of it is if a Philadelphia fans were in the stands. Apparently, they did let them in for the first couple of games or something, Tom, and then they've shut the whole thing down, right?
Is that right? Yeah, it's getting rarer and rarer to see fans in the stands. I think Kansas City had a few thousand a while back. But, yeah, you can really tell they're COVID games. And the great thing for us, for the Seahawks, is that we still have one of the best records in all of the NFL at 8-3 without our fans. You know, a lot of people are accusing Seattle, well, you just benefit from, you know, your rabid fans, and so you get home court advantage and you win, you know, home field advantage, and at least we can put that story to rest. Yeah, I thought last night's game reminded me of the good old bad old days when we weren't really very good on offense, but we were just good enough to maybe win. It was a nerve-wracking game. It wasn't a very exciting game, except that I was nervous the entire game because Philadelphia always, they got hot right at the end of, they scored their touchdowns right at the end of each half. And it's like, oh my God, you know, if we lost this, that would really be humiliating. Instead, the focus is where it should be, how humiliating it is to be a Philadelphia Eagle fan right now.
Even the cutouts, even the like foam cutouts of the people in the stands were flipping off the team. KJ Wright with a sack.
Play fake, Seattle blitzes. Carson steps up and he goes down. KJ Wright gets there. Yeah. Jamal Adams was there as well, but a host of Seahawks. We'll see who gets credit for the sack. Nobody cares on the Seahawks who gets credit. They just want to put Carson Wentz on his wallet, and they did, and KJ Wright is the man they give the sack to. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sacks for the Seahawks tonight.
Well, over and over and over again. Man, that one time, I forget who put him on his wallet, as Rabel says.
Yes. But cleverly, but that's really
didn't pick him up and slam him down, but went down. You could see his neck go to the side. Did you see that move when they kind of put that extra little zip on the guy?
Luckily we weren't called. By the way, the reason that wallet line is a good line is because he's impossible to get rid of for Philadelphia. They owe him like $59 million or something next year. It's like he's got the contract of contracts impenetrable. So no matter how bad he or his team performs, they're stuck with him.
Oh, you think Rabel was making that kind of comment on
I
that
do.
Thing?
I do.
No, I don't
he's
give
working
Rabel.
On
no,
both.
No, he's not. He doesn't do that, Tom. That's another way Rabel
plays. He could have just said backside
he
then.
He does wallet all the time.
Play fake. Here comes the rush, and Russell's going to throw deep over the top.
Metcalf, by the way, he took some hits yesterday. The only thing about it is you're going to hear more of the audio, obviously, because you can't hear the Philadelphia fans booing incessantly. Yeah. But, man, some big hits. And Metcalf jumping in the air at one point. I'm like, no, don't leave your feet.
Got a man out there reaching up, making the catch. Guess who? DK Metcalf over the top of Darius Slay.
Jumps right over his wallet.
Might be a little bit sore, but who cares?
See, jumping over the guy?
I'm a Megatron. I'm going to reach up and catch this perfectly thrown ball with one arm over Darius Slay for a big first down. Are you kidding me?
No one's kidding you, Steve Vrabel.
Those two were very chippy. If you watch the game,
they got fights, right?
Slay got a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty right off the bat in the game. They were tussling the entire time, and definitely Metcalf got the better of him. But it's a bit unfair. I mean, Metcalf is like a foot taller than him.
I give that guy some credit, right? I mean, the fact that Metcalf is that guy was like a little kid next to him. Yes. I'm like, well, you know what? Good for you, taking a couple of shots at him.
You know, I still got work to do. One of the defensive coaches came up to me, and it kind of made me mad that he was like, I was in Detroit with Megatron, but you're not there yet.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah, you don't do that.
I'm not trying to be Megatron. I'm trying to be me. So, had a little chip on my shoulder the whole game.
Was that Jim Schwartz?
Yes, sir.
Now, there is some. Jim Schwartz said that he said it as a compliment because he worked with the actual Megatron, or the guy who had the original nickname Megatron. And he was saying, you're not there yet, but, you know, he's the closest thing to it. I'm not really sure. Jim Schwartz has this kind of, I can see him being a jerk about it and then trying to say, no, it was words of praise.
Yeah, no one does that. You're not Megatron yet.
Yeah.
That's not how you get praise. All right, so people want to talk about Colin Cowherd, who is a Seattle Seahawks fan. I think he's a local guy, and he often is tooting the horn for the Seahawks, and he always says, you know, Russell Wilson being underrated, the Seahawks not necessarily being spoken about by mainstream media, or at least East West Coast media, because it's a little town out in Seattle. And if it wasn't for...
But he's a national guy,
But Colin Cowherd has always been able to say, listen, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson, no one would be talking about the Seahawks. This has always been his thing. And he's talking about the fact that is this the fourth team, the importance of a thing called the fourth team?
We know the three best. Put them in any order.
Yeah.
I would go Kansas City,
sure.
Pittsburgh, New Orleans.
Right.
But the most interesting fourth-place team.
By the way, my son tells me sometimes when I get excited, I sound like this guy. So it's like
the team has the highest ceiling.
No, just a kind of high, squeaky, kind of pushy sort of thing.
Yes. Is tonight Seattle.
Yeah.
And this is very interesting.
Yeah.
So Seattle has all the ingredients of a Super Bowl-winning team. Head coach going to the Hall of Fame. Quarterback's a superstar. Playmakers all over the place. They can be physical or finesse. Chris Carson back tonight. Watch them get physical. And, oh, by the way, they're in every game. They never get blown out. They lost to Buffalo by 10 this year, and that was a shocker. They're in every game. All the Super Bowl ingredients, except one thing. You got no pass rush. You got no defense. Here's what's very interesting. So Jamal Adams was hurt. He came back. He's back now. And Carlos Dunlap, Seahawks gave up a late draft pick to get Carlos Dunlap.
Ooh, he's going deep.
Since they've played together, Seattle has 13 sacks.
Yeah.
Tied for the NFL lead, I believe. And they have a young player named L.J. Collier. They drafted him a year ago from TCU, did nothing, a little hurt his first year, played great against Arizona. So if you watch that game tonight and you see a consistent pass rush from Seattle, then they're the fourth best team in the league.
Okay, and we
I'll take it.
Okay, good. Boy, that took them a long way to get to it. But, so again, the Giants come up against the Giants. Just wrap it up with this. Giants come up for us next. The most sacks on quarterbacks. The Giants are in fifth place, as a number of times the quarterback has been sat down on his wallet. By the way, I think that's down at the bottom. The Seahawks are, I think, third, and then the Giants are fifth on that list. So,
yeah,
to give you some idea of the ability of the offensive line to be able to protect the quarterback. Poor Russell. Yeah.
Now, the thing is that also maybe breaking in our favor, the Giants are probably the best team in that horrible East Division now, but they just lost. Their quarterback got hurt halfway through the game, and they say that, you know, he is dealing with some kind of injury. So
he's got a hamstring problem, Tom.
Yes, that's right. And the thing is, does that mean that he's going to even be able to play? It's uncertain, but they're one of their best players, obviously, is hurt. We are something like a 9-point favorite or 10-point favorite already over them. I'm concerned. Let me just say one thing. Last night, we played well enough, workmanlike production. we did not run the ball like I was expecting us to run the ball, and that's a little concerning. I don't know if Philly's front four line is so good that that explains that, but with Carson back and Hyde back, I was hoping we'd get a little more mileage out of a run game, but there's always something to be concerned about, and just gives the team something to work out. And I like the idea that at least Colin Cowherd thinks that Pete Carroll is a Hall of Fame coach.
How about that?
I didn't know if he'd he's going to make that or not.
Now, after listening to that 45-second cut from him, I'm trying not to sound like him. Now, let's talk a little bit about COVID surge and what's happening getting so ugly. Now, the Wall Street Journal looks at as we move further into the sports season, what's going to happen in the NFL as teams start to cancel or prolong or postpone. Yeah. They're going to run out of time. Was it the Ravens game? And was it Ravens Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Ravens-Steelers. It's Steelers. Still being
that was
put
the,
off.
That was the big one because people wanted to see the Steelers. Were they still undefeated?
That's right.
And that would have been a great game. Now they're running out of time. And what will eventually happen as they think more cases of COVID come up? And what will happen? Will the season just completely fall apart? The wheels fall off the season of the NFL?
Get this. At this point, that game was scheduled. Ravens Steelers was scheduled as the premier game on a Thanksgiving Day. Nope. Too many people sick with the Ravens, so they postponed it to Sunday. Then, nope. Still people are getting sick with the Ravens, up to something like 23 players. So they moved the game from Sunday to Tuesday, and now they just changed it from Tuesday to Wednesday. So, and then get this. So whoever the Steelers next play and whoever the Ravens next play, they're going to have to delay those games and push them off to, if they were a Sunday game, maybe to a Monday or Tuesday game. And the thing is, it started fine early in the season because you could just, put them down during their bye games. We're going to run out of bye game space. And so I think what'll happen is it'll be a bit like Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball did not get every game in. What they said is we'll probably end up deciding based on percentage. So if the Seahawks play 16 games and somebody else plays 14 games, they'll look at maybe the percentage and see, what the easiest way to do that is. But right now, Seahawks, they announced last night of the game, John, you should be so proud. We're the only NFL team that hasn't had a single COVID-19 test come back positive.
Ah, good. The fact that if you are obese and you are an American, there's a pretty good chance you are obese and you're American since we have 40% obese. No, 40% overweight, 30-some percent obese. The question now becomes, because you are far more likely to get COVID, far more likely to suffer greater consequences from COVID, far more likely to die from COVID. Since we are one of the fattest countries in the world, we do have more people that find themselves in ICU. So this is a piece that had come out, I think, the CDC had this come out a while ago, that the people that should be getting this vaccine should be the obese.
So today, if you heard the top of the hour, they just came out with their initial recommendations, and one was going to go to the healthcare workers, and then people in assisted living kinds of rest home kinds of situations. We don't know where the obesity factor is going to come in, but a lot of people are arguing that one of the comorbidities, if you're suffering from diabetes or have hypertension, well, they say usually a lot of those conditions are in the obese.
Yeah.
So maybe rather than looking for proof that you have diabetes, you just say, listen, if you're obese and 42% of Americans qualify as being obese, then maybe we should just give it the obese category because no one really knows for sure. Do you have diabetes because you're obese? And therefore, it's the diabetes that makes you more susceptible to hospitalization? Or is it just the fact that you're obese will mean that you're, open to all these other conditions? And that means that you are COVID, in danger of COVID more than most people. So right now, they're still kind of, trying to hassle out. The interesting thing I heard this morning is that with all this, we're really thrilled that this vaccine is coming down the pike so quickly. But they say the first dosage, there'll be 20 million dosages. But since there are two, you have to get two. That's really only 10 million. There are 15 million healthcare workers in this country. So none of us, unless we're a healthcare worker, are even going to get that first batch. That the first chance that, a regular Joe like you and me would be getting it would probably be closer to, May or June and not before. So,
well, I guess if you're an overweight healthcare worker, you'll definitely get it. Here's what they found from obesity. They contracting SARS, this is COVID-2, 113% more likely than people of healthy weight. That's if you are obese, 113% more likely. Then also you will land in hospital, 74% more likely to be admitted to ICU, 48% more likely to die. So if you are overweight, those are the numbers that go against you. So the fact that if you're a healthcare worker and you have a chance of getting a greater dose of the virus from somebody, more likely to then spread it throughout the hospital. So give those people that are in there working in the hospitals the cases. How many, they say 15 million people, is that so, right?
The doses will be good to cover 10 million.
Okay.
And there are 15 million healthcare workers, is the stat I heard today. So, that'll, you know, even people that are healthcare workers are not going to be able to get that first dose. It'll take a while, but, you know, the people that need it, you know, most will get it most likely first.
When I was in the hospital getting my eye worked on, this woman who had admitted me, I said, so are they pretty strict on you guys and coming in and stuff? And she's like, yeah, you know, if you call up with one of these symptoms, they make you take the day off. I said, she goes, I love it now. So you can call up with like a slight fever, a headache, and they make you take the day off. I love that. I said, so when do you call in with that? She goes, well, I'm not sick. I just say it. I said, what day? Well, like normally, I like Mondays or Fridays.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that horrible? Well, she's bragging about faking it.
That is terrible.
And I told her, you know what day most people fake it? I said, Wednesday.
Yeah.
I always think, like, some of my little interesting tidbits are, like, interesting. Yeah. And I get, like, I don't get much of a response. I'm like,
did you know that on the Abraham Lincoln statue there, if you were to cut the finger off, it would weigh more than 500 cars? And people are like, huh, what?
Random.
I know, but just, like, I think that makes me interesting.
I agree, but see, she wasn't interesting enough because she does the obvious and takes Mondays and Fridays off.
Yeah.
If you explain to her why Wednesday is actually a better day to take off, she might take every Wednesday off for the rest of her life.
Now, this is also an individual that feels no compunction to sort of hide the fact that they're cheating the system.
Yeah,
so, you know, I don't even know why I wasted my breath on her.
I think she'd be your role model.
Oh, yeah, I take so many days off. Is that what you're saying?
No, but screwing the system. Anything that can screw the system.
No. I point out where the system is screwed, but I don't screw the system.
Oh, well, good for you. You're a righteous warrior then, huh?
No, I am not. Don't start. Tom.
No, righteous
is a
good
thing. You know who's listening? Miss
Tracy.
H.O.V. herself. I know. Just move it along. Hey, Tracy, how about you? What's going on out there? Hey, hi. All righty, hey, Keel Mortgage, 1-888-77-AKIEL. Keel Mortgage, the best in the business. From personal experience, I can tell you right now, nobody does a better job of keeping you up to date in an extremely stressful time, which is Keel Mortgage. To be able to get that mortgage, that pre-approval letter, it is Keel Mortgage, 1-888-77-AKIEL. Good Thanksgiving, Tom. Did you just keep, did you follow government's instructions and stay home and stay down and stay low and not spend any time with family members?
For Thanksgiving, I certainly didn't. I had my mom down over the weekend, for an overnight. But it was for the first time in my life, I spent Thanksgiving basically alone. My wife and I, we had our spaghetti carbonara, and we just,
that's right.
It was amazing. It was just this tiny little affair, and it was fine. I do miss the big Thanksgiving feast, but, you know, in times of peril, John, it was quite fine. It was fun. It was different.
Good for you. So you weren't one of the 50 million Americans that defied the government and went out on their own and actually traveled and spent time with family members?
I was not.
No. Okay, good. Well, hopefully you get a chance to have another Thanksgiving next year.
Yeah, that's right. Unlike some people, huh? Yeah. But nobody cares about my stay-at-home celebration.
Well, no, they knew that you were doing the pasta carbonara,
right.
Whatever that is.
That's right. But everyone's dying to find out.
No, they're not.
How did John Curley handle Thanksgiving in the woods?
Well, defied the government edict, and she got on a plane, like I think 3 million other Americans did, because they weighed the risk and they thought, you know what, I'm going to fly down. She went down to Austin to go see Chuck. Charlie's down there with her boyfriend, and the two of them are getting along. And it's like, let me get this straight: you have no money, but you spend $1,200 on a couch with the kids. It's the weirdest thing that the kids don't have any perspective. They're like, well, what am I going to get? A lousy couch? I'm like, no, I got an idea. How about you get a crappy couch? Because you have no money because you're 19 years old.
Exactly.
You get a crappy couch. we had to get a, when we spent like $2,000 on the mattress. $2,000 on the mattress? I think we built our own mattresses when we were 19 years old. Bags of sand and concrete. I mean, it was like crazy. And
you've
like,
raised pampered kids.
The two of them together. They have like no concept of any of it. So that's what Lace did.
Okay.
So Rye was at home. So I said, Rye, come up and go to the cabin. He said, I have no problem with that. So yeah. I started to make a 4-pound turkey breast. And then he gets there and I thought, this is going to be really bad. So luckily, Dougie, who lives up the road there, he said, why don't you come up and spend Thanksgiving here? We got all the fixings.
Oh.
So I went and I said to Rye, if you come up, I'll get you your favorite pie. What's your favorite pie? He says, I want banana chocolate cream pie. So I go to the bakery there in Cleveland. The lady recognizes me as Evening Magazine host John Curley, watches me every night, which is weird. Maybe she does because I haven't been on in 10 years. Maybe she's the person outside the cabin. And I get the pie, and it weighs like 50 pounds, and Rye comes. So we're walking up the road to Dougie's. We go up the road to Dougie's. We walk in, not to the house, but into the garage. And by the way, up on the Facebook page, you can see where we spent Thanksgiving. I took video of it, so you can now look and see. So you walk into a gigantic garage filled with old tractors, bits and pieces, there are tools everywhere, and there's a giant wood-burning stove there. And on this table, which is on top of tires and a bunch of other piles of junk, is the turkey and all the fixins. I turn around and look at Rye. There's only the one thing bigger than the pie are his eyes, because he's looking at me like, is this some sort of a joke? And with that, I put the pie down, Rye, on the tractor. So he does. He puts it on the tractor seat, and then we proceed to get our stuff and sit down, not on like at a table, but on like folding chairs that are covered in dirt, and they've got the little thing that you put your beer next to on the side, the little folding thing. It's like a chair from the 70s. And you'll sit there and you're eating off of your lap where you're. And for Rye, it's more convenient because he's 6'3". So his knees are right under his chin and he's there consuming. And the conversation's like, and by the way, Jacob, get the beep sound ready, because every third word is the F word with these guys. We're all sitting around the fire. And he's like, so I'll point to everything and goes, let's just practice. Okay. So I said, so do you guys, hey, Ryan, these guys all went hunting. They invited me to go hunting the other day, like a week ago. How many of you guys actually went hunting? He's like, what were you at? Well, like, there was like us, and we're all, I said, well, how big is the thing that you were in? That was like 16 by 16. I'm like, well, that's a lot of guys in one little thing. Oh, my God, there was so much. And we were doing all this, and I'm thinking, like, wow, there's a lot of cursing. And this is like, that's like Thanksgiving Indians and the Pilgrims cursing. So he goes on to explain to me, 8 men in a 16 by 16, like, cabin thing. It was 8 degrees below zero at one point. And I said, so what's it like? He goes, one guy goes, oh, well, Dougie goes, yeah, at one point, this rat runs across my face. And who was it, Gary or Jimmy? Jimmy yelled, get out, I'm sick of this. And he takes out a shotgun, and shoots the rat. I said, inside the cabin? Yeah, we all got down. He shot a hole.
We all got
down.
That
went through the roof. So the next day, we had to fix the roof, the hole. We're all out there fixing the roof. I said, well, what happened to the rat? Oh, rat. There's bits and pieces of the rat everywhere. I mean, Jimmy hit it with a shotgun. I'm like, oh, my God. And he's talking about the farting and the stinking and everything else. So you get some idea of the type of people, right? All right. Okay. So then I look over at Rye. I said, why aren't you eating your pie? And he goes, I got that fork problem. I'm like, what? I can't eat the pie with the same fork I eat turkey. I'm like, Rye, are you? Okay, listen, do you get some idea of the type of men that are surrounding you right now? These are men that shoot a live rat inside a building.
With a shotgun.
With a shotgun. And then the next day, they fix the effing roof with rat guts everywhere. Dad, I know they're looking at me because we brought the pie, but I can't. And all of a sudden, what's wrong with you? Why are you eating your pie? And Ryan's like, I've got to get to it. No, what's wrong? What's wrong with the fork? Rye goes, And I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Whatever you do, don't admit it. Don't admit it. And Ryan goes, I can't eat the pie with the same fork that I ate the turkey with. And he's like, why not? He's like, this is bits and pieces of turkey on the fork. You know what? Put it in your mouth and clean it off. Clean it off with the same mouth you ate the turkey with, and then eat the pie. I was like, tried that. Can't do that. And then with that, Dougie has to get up, which is like a woman who's about to give birth, gets up out of the chair. He has to go in the house, come back out. He's holding three forks, and I guess it's like, which one is not the filthiest? So then Rye has to, like, Rye's like examining them, and he's like, oh. He takes the one closest to him, thinking that he'll sit down, and then he kind of moves the pie all around. What's wrong? You're still not eating the pie. And then the other guy's like, what's the problem with the fork already? I'm like, Ryan, again, this, you should have done this, and I can't do anything to protect you. So I'm like, and then I thought, you know what? I got to throw him to the wolves. I'm like, how about my son? Can't eat a pie with a fork. Because I couldn't, because he's going to leave, Tom, and I still need, these are my friends, right? So I can't, so I have to cut him loose. I'm sorry. I've got to, it's like outrunning a bear. Just have to run the fastest, the fattest guy. Oh, my God. And I'm like, I just eat it. He goes, God. I said, I spent $20 on the pie. And he took it home with him, and I think he found a fork at home. But I remember thinking, I was like, you understand the type of people surrounding you right now?
He probably went home and flopped down on a $1,200 couch.
I felt so bad throwing him to the wolves, Tom.
At least it was outside, though, it sounds like.
No, we were inside.
Well, but it was a garage, you said.
Big garage. You can look at it. Watch, go to the Facebook page. You can see it, yeah. Yeah.
I will indeed.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, the breaking the wind and the thing and then...
And let me guess, no masks.
What do you think? Think people wearing masks?
No, not wearing masks. No masks.
All right, we'll see what happens. But we were apart, 10 feet apart, because the chairs were all there in the thing, separated by big hunks of transmission and stuff. I should have gone hunting with those guys. Would I come back with some great stories? Huh?
You absolutely would. Oh, you still can.
No, I'm not going again. No, because a couple of times they had too many guys, and everybody had to take turns sleeping outside on a cot. Can you imagine how cold that was?
Oh, my gosh.
At least you'd avoid the rat guts being blown out of the sky by a shotgun.
Just bring an extra fork.
All right, Tracy Taylor.
You have the best stories. I love them. Okay.
Tune us at MyNorthWest.com. You can text as well at 98973. Be a part of the Tom and Curly Show. I think the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar is back again. She had spent Thanksgiving with friends and family, and she will choose the letter of the day. Jacob kept saying, John kept sending me this story. I didn't keep sending it. I accidentally sent it to you. I didn't realize it didn't. I just kept forwarding, and I'm sorry. It wasn't what I was excited about. I just... accidentally hit the button three times.
Well, you know, you and your hair.
Oh, yeah, me and George Clooney. George Clooney and me. George Clooney and I. Clooney says that he has been using Flobee. Flobee was this thing that came out in the 70s. You would cut your hair with it. It was a vacuum, and it would, like, have these blades, and you could just cut your hair as easy clean up.
And have you been cutting your own hair?
Mm-hmm. I've been cutting my own hair for 25 years.
So it has nothing to do with quarantine?
No. Look, my hair's like really like straw, you know, and so it's easy to cut. You can't really make too many mistakes. So years ago, I bought a thing called a Flobee, which when I was a kid, yeah.
The infomercial, the Flobee.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time.
Yes. It comes with a vacuum cleaner and the clippers? Yeah, I still have it.
Stop it. You don't use it.
My haircuts take literally... 2 minutes. I go,
is this Flobee?
Yeah, it's Flobee.
That is awesome.
Yeah, listen, man, it works.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Because he never said that he uses Flobee. He said that he got it.
Yes,
I don't believe he uses it.
I know. It is a little misleading. You read the article, then at least in the clips that you play, he says, yeah, I got it, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I've been cutting my own hair. And she's like, really, Flobee? He never said Flobee. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to...
You can't really make too many mistakes. So, years ago...
Years ago, uh-huh.
I bought a thing called a Flowbee.
Right.
Which when we
you
were
did
kid,
not.
When I was a kid. Yeah.
Okay, when I was a kid, I bought it years ago.
Infomercial, the Flowbee.
This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time.
It comes with a vacuum cleaner and the clippers?
Yeah.
I still have it.
You still have it? Oh, I still have it.
Stop it. You don't use it.
My haircuts take literally 2 minutes.
He didn't say he, see? He didn't say he uses it. My, I have it. This is a guy, I remember when I went to visit the set at ER, they used to have this thing, the big sign that said, please don't take the fourth taco, or three tacos only, or we'll have to talk to you about it. It was some mean thing, because apparently they'd have too many people ate more than three tacos. Mm-hmm. So George Clooney got a taco, he hot glued it to a paper plate, and then somehow he got a ladder, and he hot glued the plate and the taco to the ceiling of the studio, which was way up there, and it said, the fourth taco. And it had been there for years and years and years. Oh, Clooney was such a, joker, always cracking jokes, always doing... There's no way he cuts his hair with a Flowbee.
Because it looks too good?
Yeah, I had it. You do not still have the Flowbee. Tracy Taylor, does George Clooney cut his hair with a Flowbee?
Absolutely. And he still looks hot.
Yeah.
No. Tom?
You could cut your hair with the Flowbee and you'd still look good.
No. I went from hot to good. Thanks a lot, Tracy.
There's a commercial possibility for you. You can start advertising
Tom,
the
Flowbee. Tom, don't try to change the subject.
With that flowing head of hair you now have over that bald spot.
I understand. No, George Clooney's hot. H-O-T-T. I'm good. Tracy? Leave it. Traffic.
You look younger than he does, that's for sure.